Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 7. This is God's holy word. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Amen. Jesus has already been teaching on prayer in this Sermon on the Mount. We saw that a good bit in the last chapter. And he again revisits the subject today in our passage for today. So we're going to be thinking more about prayer. Prayer can sometimes seem a bit mysterious to us in the sense of how our prayers can effectively petition a sovereign God who has already foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. And yet what clearly stands out in this passage for today is that Jesus encourages us to pray, to ask, and to seek, and to knock in prayer. And not only that, but Jesus assures us that God will not only answer our prayers, but he will answer them with good things, by giving us good things. And so what an encouraging passage we have today for our prayer life. Here we see why Christians have often described prayer as a means of grace. We are given this means to petition the Almighty God, maker and sustainer of the heavens and earth, for these good things that we need. Well, in our first point today, I'd like us to see how God calls us to bring our requests to him. Look at verses 7 and 8. Jesus calls us to bring our prayer requests, and he uses these three colorful verbs: ask, seek, and knock. He could have just said ask or just make your request, but he uses these three colorful verbs. Let's think about each of them then for a moment. The first one, he says to ask. It's the most simplest, of course. But it helps us to realize what Jesus is talking about in very clear terms. He's talking about making requests, prayer requests. And to put it in terms of asking, it means that we are asking someone. We're making a request to someone. We are asking someone for something. Of course, that someone is God. We are asking God as our Heavenly Father for something we need. And so, though God has sovereignly foreordained all things, we are encouraged to ask God. And I love to cross-reference this with James 4:2. James there, when he's teaching on prayer, says that we do not have because we do not ask. That's part of this mystery. That though God has his plan worked out from all eternity, there will be good things we will miss out on if we do not ask for them. Of course, that means that us missing out on those things must be part of his good plan as well. But nonetheless, the point comes back to how he's teaching us to ask of him. Because if part of his plan was that by us not asking, we don't receive, then he's nonetheless driving us back to come to him in prayer, to bring those requests, to ask him for our needs. Well, let's think then about the seeking for a moment. We are to seek. We are to seek that we would find. What does it mean to seek? Well, it's this imagery of looking for something. And we're looking for something with energy and with zeal. You don't give up until you find what you're looking for. There is the idea here of persistence. Remember that parable of the persistent widow. That widow who kept going over to the judge looking for justice until he finally gave her justice. We are to have that kind of persistence in our prayer. Keep zealously seeking out an answer to your request to God. Of course, then the flip side of zealously seeking in prayer is that afterwards you zealously act in light of your prayer. If you pray that God would grow you in your knowledge of the Bible, if you pray that, seeking that, zealously asking God for helping you to know the Bible better, then when you say amen, go and open up your Bible and read it and seek to learn it more because you believe God will answer your prayer. Well, last, think of that verb of the knocking. We are to knock that the door would be opened. Obviously, there's figurative language going on here. Hope it's obvious that there's not some literal door that you need to find to go knock on. But think of the figurative language. Think of the idea of a door. Think of how you want, when you knock on a door, for that other person to hear you and to come and answer, to open the door and find out what you need. And so you go to that door and you knock. And you knock, and it makes that sound, and the person inside ultimately can't miss that knock, and you keep knocking and knocking until they finally do come and see what you need. Reminds us of Jesus' parable in Luke 11:5-8. That's often the parable called the parable of the importunate neighbor. That's the parable that describes a friend who comes over to someone's house in the middle of the night looking to borrow 3 loaves of bread. There's some unexpected guest that I guess came over late at night in the parable. Well, in that parable, the person at home at first tries to send his friend away. He says, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." Well, as Jesus says in the parable, that though the person would not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistent requests, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. That's the parable of the importunate neighbor. Well, after Jesus tells that parable in Luke's gospel, he then immediately in Luke's gospel comes and gives the same call for what we see in our passage for today, to ask and to seek and to knock. And so that parable, Luke's gospel, really helps explain the very teaching that we have today. Helps us to understand a little bit more in vivid imagery of that knocking idea. So again, apply this to our prayer life. If at first you don't find your prayer to be answered, keep on knocking. Keep on praying. Keep on bringing your matter to God in prayer. Well, as we think about this idea of asking and seeking and knocking in our prayer life, let me clarify this. This isn't inviting you to ask God in prayer for just anything. In other words, it's not saying that any and every prayer request is equally valid. I'd point you to, for example, 1 John 5:14. It says we're to ask for things in prayer according to God's will. Our prayers should seek to be according to God's will. Or in James 4:3, that same passage that was talking about how we don't have because we do not ask, goes on to say that sometimes our prayers aren't answered because we ask wrongly in order to satisfy our sinful cravings. You see, the assumption that's in context here is that what we are asking of God are supposed to be for good things. That's the point of verses 9 through 12. That it's talking there about the good things a father would give his child based on the child's good requests. Along these same sort of lines, remember last chapter, and keep that context in mind here. Jesus had already talked about the kinds of things we should seek after, we should desire, that we should value. Remember, he told us to put our hearts on heavenly treasure, not earthly treasure. To want to seek first God and His kingdom and His righteousness. And so these are the kinds of things then that should fill our prayer life. Just look at the Lord's Prayer for further examples of the kinds of petitions that are quite fitting for us to bring to God. Now, I love in that Lord's Prayer that one of the prayers is specifically for our daily bread. It is quite fitting to bring to God our needs, even of physical and material matters. Quite appropriate. We ought to. But of course, as you look at the prayers, you see there's even a greater emphasis on all these many other spiritual matters. To pray for God's glory, to pray for our